I'm going to read from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4. Verses 26 through 34. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, they do not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once they go in with the sickle, because the harvest has come." Jesus also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? Oh, those parables. Stories of everyday activities, everyday things, thrown alongside, from the Greek para, alongside, together with, and balo, to cast, parabalo. Stories of everyday activities and events thrown alongside deeper truths of the heart. It is important to remember how much Jesus loved to teach in parables. There are lots of ways you can teach, far more didactic than parables happen to be. But as New Testament scholar Amy Jill Levine reminds us, Jesus was a classic Jewish storyteller. Parables are a rich part of Jewish tradition, scripture, and experience. And at the same time, parables are not always easy to understand. Sometimes they even land like riddles. Jesus' parables often left the disciples and others flummoxed, confused, and wondering exactly what the point might be. Levine points to the parables as one of the ways Jesus was requiring the disciples and still requires us to do more than just listen. We're being asked to think as well. Indeed, Levine continues, what makes their parables mysterious or difficult is that they challenge us to look into the hidden aspects of our own values, our own lives. With what can we compare the kingdom of God? And what parable will we use for it? The kingdom of God is as if a local Haitian chef, who in addition to running her catering business, Breeze Gourmet, delivered food to shelters in Lowell and Lawrence on her own, and then jumped at the chance when her church asked for help to feed even more people. Chef Micheline Desormeaux corralled her students to line up for a prayer and song ahead of their graduation, a tradition of giving thanks they all established before each gathering and class at the New England Culinary Arts Training School. Desormeaux Germinal, age 30, got in formation with his guitar. He strummed along to the Haitian gospel song as his classmates crooned along, and after the song concluded, one of his peers led a prayer. "Merci, Seigneur. Merci, Seigneur," she repeated. "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." One student raised her hand, eyes closed as she listened. Another opened her palms in front of her, welcoming the blessings. 17 Haitian migrants on Thursday night received their certificates just a few short months after they arrived in Boston. This from a Boston Globe article on June 14th by Natalie LaRoche-Pietri. This is a critical step, of course, towards them securing employment and upward mobility. The graduates were aged 27 to 48, and they are among the 11,633 migrants who entered Massachusetts in the 2023 fiscal year. The vast majority of those newcomers hailed from Haiti, where violence and political instability has surged. For this Haitian chef, it was an easy choice to help her people. In addition to running her catering business, she knew there was more she wanted and needed to do. So she made trips to Logan Airport, where many migrants slept on the floor for days before being relocated to shelters. And as some of you know, there are churches throughout Greater Boston that are trying to do other things that they can, including offering daytime respite when the migrants can't stay at shelters or stay at Logan. And so First Congregational Church and some volunteers here from East Church were part of hosting a couple of Saturdays ago during the day. But in November, the Culinary Arts Training School stepped in to help this local Haitian chef, and school leaders wanted to start a fully Haitian Creole program to teach migrants the trade. Desormeaux said, "If you guys started it, I'd be able to help." And they came together, and she said, "I'll do whatever I can." So over 9 weeks, Desormeaux, another chef, and another assistant, who were all alums from this culinary school, trained students on the ins and outs of the kitchen, and it was a pretty fast-track approach compared to the standard 14 weeks of the courses. It was also the first time the school ever offered the course in Haitian Creole, which meant their teaching materials needed to be translated instantly. And so it got done. The need was recognized, and it got done. And Desormeaux said, "I feel like after graduation, they have something in their hands to live with and a skill to provide for their family." While enrolled in thrice-weekly classes, Germinal juggled two other jobs, one in Chelsea and one in Weymouth. His journey to making his dreams come true, as he called it, has not been easy. Germinal left Haiti in 2018 after his father was shot by a gang member. At the time, he was at the tail end of finishing a degree in theology, but he and his wife left to French New Guinea before he could finish. He took up school again with aspirations of being a teacher and enrolled in a university to study modern literature while he worked as a security guard. But after he said he experienced racist encounters there, he decided to leave. And so he began the trek through South America to make it to the United States. He, his wife, and their now 2-year-old daughter crossed 10 countries, walking, riding buses, and sitting in boats to make it to the border. When they arrived in Boston, they spent 8 nights sleeping on the floor at the airport before the Immigrant Family Services Institute found them a shelter in Chelsea. They're still there, housed with 300 other people. Yet despite his circumstances, Germinal said he is full of gratitude and ambition. He wants to attain a kitchen management certification in the future. "Whenever he has an opportunity to give glory to God, he always sings for people around him," said Desormeaux, providing a loose translation for Germinal of why he plays guitar at the moment of song and prayer before class. After Germinal accepted his certificate, he stood at the podium and gave a brief speech. "I always miss the big part, which is the graduation part," Germinal said as a volunteer translated. "I have missed so many opportunities, but I don't want to miss this one as well." With what shall we compare the kingdom of God? With what parable shall we learn more of it? The kingdom of God is as if resting in peace is a daily, an hourly, and every single moment possibility for countless people like Uncle Ed. This story from Sopan Deb in the New York Times. At first glance, Uncle Ed's obituary, published in the Times Union of Albany, New York, seemed fairly straightforward. It listed his survivors, including many nieces and nephews. It detailed his army service in Vietnam, that he was a retired firefighter in his hometown of Rensselaer, New York, and that he was a co-founder of an Albany-based radio station. But the end of his obituary, which ran on June 8, included a personal note from Mr. Edward Thomas Ryan, also known as Uncle Ed, who died on June 1st at 85 years old. "I must tell you one more thing," the obituary reads. "I was gay all my life, through grade school, through high school, through college, through life." Mr. Ryan went on to say that he had been in a loving and caring relationship with a man for 25 years. That man died in 1994, and the note went on to say that Mr. Ryan would be buried next to him. "I'm sorry for not having the courage to come out as gay," Mr. Ryan wrote. "I was afraid of being ostracized by my family, friends, and coworkers. Seeing how people like me were treated, I just could not do it." Born in 1938, Mr. Ryan came of age in an era when gay people faced frequent discrimination and often lived in the shadows. A former colonel in the Army, Mr. Ryan would not have been able to live publicly as a gay man without repercussions. He was a man of many skills, aside from being a decorated soldier. According to his obituary, he was a chef at the local American Legion post. He received a citation from the state of New York for volunteering to cook for emergency workers in the aftermath of the September 11 attacks. And after leaving the military, Mr. Ryan was a firefighter for almost three decades until he retired in 1992. Uncle Ed, as he was affectionately known, interacted with everybody in the community. He was always happy, always smiling, just a down-to-earth guy that would help anybody through anything that was needed. The last line of Mr. Ryan's obituary is perhaps the most poignant. And it read, "Now that my secret is known, I'll forever rest in peace." With many such parables, I believe the word still comes to us. I pray we are able to hear it. Thanks be to God.